Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, welcome back to the Mining Pod. On today's show, we are joined by Brandon Bailey, formerly of Galaxy Digital's Bitcoin mining team. We brought him on to talk about Bitcoin mining stocks and why they're sliding against all these other Bitcoin investments. He had some interesting thoughts on how they fit into a portfolio and also some forward-looking things on how Bitcoin mining stocks might change in the eyes of investors. Lastly, we touched on, does it really matter like which team is behind a stock or not? Is the market really mature enough to understand the differences between these teams? So he has some great insights. Thank you to Brandon for joining us. Okay, before we jump into the show, shout out to CleanSpark, America's Bitcoin miner, for being the sponsor on the CoinDesk Podcast Network for the Mining Pod. You'll hear from CleanSpark a little bit later in today's show. Also, we'd like to draw attention to our Bitcoin halving party here in Denver, Colorado on April 20th from 12 to 8 p.m. at the Independence Institute. If you're in Denver, Colorado, join us. We got food, vendors, screenings of different Bitcoin movies, and live talks with a lot of experts in the Rocky Mountain region. So join us. April 20th, Independence Institute. You can find a link in today's show notes. Okay, on to the show. Hey, welcome back to the Mining Pod. We're joined by Brandon Bailey. Brandon's a pretty familiar face and voice on the podcast. We haven't had him on in a bit. Brandon, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me. Excited to join you again.
Yeah, it's about time. I think one of your shows you did with us back in 2021 is one of the most listened shows of all time for the podcast. It's about investing in Bitcoin mining, and those words just like index really well on Google, I think, and they find you. So it's good stuff, and hopefully this show can do just as well. I have high aspirations. We're going to talk about mining stocks today. Going to hand it over to you first. Do a little intro about yourself, since people haven't heard you probably in about 2 years. Or actually, did we do a show last year? I can't remember.
I don't think we did.
Okay. Yeah. But
happy to just give a quick intro on me. So Brandon Bailey, was a former VP on the mining team at Galaxy. Recently left the team and am now doing some freelance work in the mining space. While I was at Galaxy, I did mining research. I wrote all of the annual and mid-year mining reports while there, and did a couple other like one-off reports as well during my time there, such as the cost to mine for Bitcoin miners in the space. Also worked on sort of special projects and strategic investment opportunities while at Galaxy in the mining space. And then also have been a pretty big Ordinal enjoyer as well. And while I was at Galaxy, wrote a couple reports on the Ordinal space and kind of talking about that opportunity from the perspective of, you know, the Bitcoin mining industry and what all of that could, you know, possibly mean and did mean for Bitcoin miners as far as transaction fee revenue goes.
You might be one of the largest Bitcoin Ordinal enjoyers I know, actually. So just direct the record there. You're very deep in this space, so we could honestly just do a podcast with you about ordinals and it would just be as high signal. But today we're going to go the more traditional, boring route. We're going to talk about Bitcoin mining stocks, which themselves have been a weird market, I think, to say the least. Like, ordinals have been going up and to the right mostly, and they're denominated in Bitcoin, so it's been like even better. You know, they're going up in price, dollar terms, and Bitcoin. Mining stocks, not so much. A lot of these mining stocks have gone down about 20% over the last month. There's only been a few that have bucked the trend, so to speak. I mean, I have like the We Gonna Make It ETF. That's, I think, the only real exposure I have
to most of these mining stocks, and it's down like over the last 4 weeks or so. So it's kind of a bummer. I think it's down since I bought it, which I bought like right at the beginning of the year. So yeah, I'm going to hand it over to you to do a little overview. I'm going to throw up a stock screener for those watching on YouTube or CoinDesk TV, so you can kind of see some of the numbers here.
For sure. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about, I think, as far as the public miners go and some of the more recent performance. I think before we jump right into some of the names, I think one of the most important things to kind of call out here that we've historically seen with the public miners and how they trade is that a lot of the performance is not driven based on fundamentals. Miners are generally used as more of sort of a, it's more of a sentiment trade. It's more of like a levered Bitcoin trade. And historically, retail has been a big driver of the price sort of performance of these names, and used it primarily as, you know, a directional bet against Bitcoin. Towards the end of last year, we really saw Bitcoin mining stocks really outperform, especially against Bitcoin. They were some of the best performing, you know, I'd say equities in the space, really across the board. You could have pretty much bought almost any one of these names and done very well, especially, you know, the large cap names. So a Marathon, a Riot, CleanSpark, of course. But since the end of last year, we've seen the names, especially in the, I would say more recently, like the last 3 to 4 weeks, really underperform versus Bitcoin almost across the board. A lot of these guys are down 20 to 30% while Bitcoin is up 30 to 40% during that same time period. So you've seen sort of the beta and their correlation with Bitcoin completely fall off in the last 3 weeks. And I think that that's largely driven by a few things. One, with the Bitcoin ETF, of course, you're seeing people sort of rotate out of the mining stocks and just buy the Bitcoin ETF now that that's an available product. You're also seeing a lot of these names are currently using their equity ATM. And so they're raising a lot of cash by selling shares directly in the market. And that's sort of, you know, working against any price appreciation. I think that that's probably the right thing to do, despite sort of that headwind for the price. You know, going into this next cycle, you want to make sure that you have lots of cash on hand so that you can ultimately deploy it and grow your business, especially while, you know, the debt capital markets remain closed off. Equity is really the only way that a lot of these miners have sort of a way to raise capital. And then I think you're also seeing the halving narrative really take effect, right? You know, a lot of, you know, the market knows that these guys' revenue is going to be cut in half. That's a massive headwind, I think, for you know, trying to buy or bet on one of these names. And so I think you're seeing, again, a lot of people kind of take profit here or rotate into the Bitcoin ETF as a better way to kind of play the halving, you know, at least in the near term. And then lastly, I would say that you're also just seeing people short the miners relative to Bitcoin as sort of a, you know, a trading strategy or a hedging strategy. So I think that some of those points are the big drivers of why we've seen the recent underperformance of, I'd say, the, you know, public miners as a bucket. But I would say, you know, despite that, you've had a few that have kind of outperformed relative to the peer set. I think CleanSpark has been a pretty strong performer, and they've really come on strong over the past few months, actually surpassing Riot in market cap to kind of take that number two spot. And I think a lot of that has been driven by the increase in their hash rate. So they are now, I think, operating about 16 exahash of hash rate, which sets them at number three. Core Scientific, I believe, has about 19 or just below 19 exahash online. So they've caught up and surpassed Riot effectively in terms of operational hash rate. And they also have a pretty efficient fleet, as they were one of the only miners that was actually growing in 2022. And a lot of that was because of sort of the treasury management approach that they did take. And I think that they're starting to see some of the fruits of that labor kind of pay off for them in terms of that strategy. And so I think that they're, one, well-positioned kind of going into the halving. They've had a lot of growth relative to the other names. And then they've also started holding, you know, Bitcoin as well, which I think is something that the retail, retail investors really do like. And I think the larger your Bitcoin HODL, I think you tend to, you know, earn a higher beta relative to Bitcoin, or at least the market kind of trades your name with a higher beta as a result of that. So I think that all of those things, sort of the confluence of those things, have worked really well in CleanSpark's favor in particular. But let me pause right there and you know, we'll give you a chance to see if there's anything else you want to touch on.
Yeah, I think we could probably go through a few of these points because they might be lost on people who haven't been following the narrative too much. I want to point out this chart. So if you're watching on YouTube or CoinDesk TV, you'll see in front of you. If you're listening, I'll kind of describe it. The chart here from Hash Rate Index, they do a lot of great data, and they have like this bucket of different mining stocks. And we're looking at the all-time chart here. So this is going back to beginning, mid-2020, where mining stocks started popping onto the scene, you know, the early mining stocks being like Riot and Marathon. And they peaked last cycle in this chart at like 9,000, 10,000. I'm not sure what the benchmark metric there is. But now we're at around 4,000 on this benchmark. So less than 50, lower than 50% of what we were at, according to this benchmark from Hash Rate Index. I think a lot of people are looking at mining stocks and being like, yeah, we have way more miners out there. We have way more strategies. Bitcoin price is higher. Why is this happening? Why aren't we higher at this point already when Bitcoin is, you know, surpassed all-time highs? I think we clipped 72,000, 73,000 the other day. Do you have any thoughts on that? Is it just like there's too much dilution and there's too many miners out there? Is it like as simple as that?
I think it is. I think that's the majority of it. I think it's a lot of the dilution and then just the impact of the halving. It's the halving uncertainty that people are just don't really know how to, you know, underwrite or price in. I think a lot of people are just really uncertain what that means for miners. Are some of these guys going to survive? Are they not? I think that once the dust settles, in my personal opinion, I think that obviously the halving is going to be impactful, but I don't think it's going to be quite as impactful to the downside as people think, at least for some of these companies, right? You know, the ones that have better fundamentals, of course, so like a Riot, a CleanSpark, even a Marathon, they're well situated just given the cash on hand and a number of other things. They also have more efficient fleets. So I think that they'll be able to weather the storm a bit better. But I think that people also aren't really pricing in the possibility of sort of a transaction fee bull market. You know, just knowing that we have the Runes protocol that gets activated on the halving block, which could cause an absolute frenzy in transaction fees and really help to offset a lot of that, you know, loss of revenue just from the block subsidy being cut in half. I think that that's something that the market isn't thinking about at all. That could be a real catalyst to kind of help miners weather the storm. And, you know, quite frankly, I think you're seeing a pretty compelling setup happen with the public miners, right? One of the most interesting things that is also occurring, you know, as they sell off relative to Bitcoin is the EV, at least for the miners that hold a large amount of Bitcoin, their EV is kind of, you know, decreasing at an accelerated pace because the value of the cash effectively is going up as Bitcoin is going up and your market cap is dropping. And so it's having an even greater impact on your enterprise value to the downside, which is making your underlying business look even more cheap. And so that's something that I've been watching very, very closely, especially for names like Riot, Marathon. I like Bitfarms as well. You know, CleanSpark, also looking at Core is another name that I've just been looking at coming off of that sort of bankruptcy hangover. And they haven't really moved much with the market, but still have a tremendous amount of hash rate online. But I think that there's a really compelling trade opportunity to kind of go buy some of these names cheap or maybe even buy some long-dated call options. And I think that that could be a really, really lucrative trade.
In the competitive world of Bitcoin mining, one name stands out: CleanSpark, America's Bitcoin miner. At CleanSpark, efficiency isn't just a goal, it's our standard. Our sophisticated facilities are built and led by expert teams who care about Bitcoin and the communities we work in. Scale? We've mastered it. Our large-scale operations have set us apart in the industry as examples of community-oriented building. Our track record speaks for itself. We navigate the complexities of the new economy with precision and with skill, continuously achieving operational milestones. Curious about how we do it? We invite you to discover the story behind CleanSpark's success at cleanspark.com.
Interesting. Okay, so I've seen some people talk about that a little bit, but the scary thing is it's, what, 45 days away from halving? And so everyone's kind of freaking out about that. I think it's pretty simple to project what halving looks like for a lot of these miners at this point. 12 months out, no clue. 60 days out, got a pretty good understanding of like where things are going to be at. Just like cut the revenue in half and just price in all the different things that are happening with in terms of them deploying hash rate. Let's go back to the ETF really quickly before we talk about individual miner stocks if we can. So I had a few people on the show to talk about the ETF and what's going to happen with mining stocks. Most people were either in one of two camps. One was ETF comes in, money comes into the entire ecosystem, a rising tide lifts all boats, everything's going to go up forever, we're going to hit $1 million Bitcoin, and Riot's going to hit $10, $100 a share. Like that kind of talk. And then I had other people, a lot of doom and gloom, say there's not a reason to allocate to mining stocks anymore because you can get direct ownership or more direct exposure to the ETF. I feel like we've almost split the middle, though, and the market always does what you don't really expect it. Where we had the first few weeks, we had a rise in a lot of these prices. Things looked really good. I think CleanSpark clipped over $20 at one point or might even still be up there. Looked awesome. Since then, we've retraced about 20%. Things are back to where they were a little bit ago. Bitcoin keeps ripping, and we keep having huge institutional flows into these ETFs. What's your thoughts on like the last 8 weeks of trading for mining stocks and ETFs? And then what's like your future projection right now, as much as you can, based on like that information?
Well, I would say the performance of the ETFs in terms of net inflows is really, I mean, it's been astounding. Incredibly impressive. I think that, in terms of how the ETF might impact public miners and their performance overall, I think I've actually been most shocked by MicroStrategy's outperformance relative to the ETF, in all honesty, especially when you look at, I think the way to look at it is kind of, you compare MicroStrategy's market cap relative to the fair market value of their Bitcoin holdings, and you kind of look at this on a daily basis and kind of calculate a ratio or a premium, right, that you're effectively paying to own it. And we've seen that ratio hit an all-time high, right? So MicroStrategy has benefited tremendously from the ETF, where I would have probably thought that, that premium should compress. Right? Like, why buy MicroStrategy if you could just buy the ETF? Because it was the closest thing to a proxy for an ETF, prior to the approval. Miners, on the other hand, I would think that they have a real chance to outperform outperform relative to the ETF, or at least certainly still have a place because of their ability to basically generate Bitcoin at a discount to the fair market value or the current spot price. It's not really something that MicroStrategy can do, but it is something that miners can do. But I think in order to really, demonstrate that value proposition to the market, you have to be in a position to where you're generating positive earnings, like positive EBITDA, positive free cash flow. You have to really demonstrate that ability that you can be profitable. And I think in the long term, I've always kind of envisioned the end goal end game for miners is really like yield plays, right? You can invest money in this mining business. It's going to earn, positive cash flow, and maybe you can get paid a dividend. And so it kind of serves as this like high beta, or like highly convex, like yield play, correlated with Bitcoin, which I think would be really, really enticing, I think, to the market. But the problem is we haven't really seen miners generate positive EBITDA, even adjusted EBITDA, let alone free cash flow. And so I would expect that in the medium to longer term, the market should start to reprice miners, ascribing a higher premium or higher multiple on the businesses that can generate strong earnings or at least positive, earnings. Those are the businesses that I think, you know, will be incredibly attractive in the medium or long term. But for now, I just don't think that the market's sophisticated enough, or it's certainly not thinking enough about the actual fundamentals to really be able to discern, I think, you know, individual names from one another.
Interesting. Do you think it's more sophisticated than it was a year ago, or are we about the same place?
I think we're definitely making strides. I mean, we have way more metrics, way more, I'd say, data analysis, way more, people covering the names. I actually think that, you know, some of the best research in the space actually comes from like retail, you know, like people either on Twitter or people from the mining industry that aren't necessarily the equity research analysts coming, you know, working directly for the banks, that actually put out the best research and actually kind of understand some of these names the best, you know. Even as far as metrics that we use kind of commonly, all of those things have come directly from the mining industry, not from the banks, right? When you think about hash price, when you think about hash cost, which is a newer metric that is being talked about, all of these things came directly from, you know, retail investors or the Bitcoin community directly. And I think what we need is to sort of bridge the gap between our community and Wall Street and help them to better understand the nuances and little complexities about our business and our industry, so that they can help educate, you know, their audience and their base of investors about the right way to think about these companies, about the metrics that matter the most, and what really is, you know, a core driver of the actual operational performance at a fundamental level.
Definitely agree with all that. Let's go into different names or individual names. And from a high level, I just want to talk about strategies. So we have seen some differentiation over time for these different Bitcoin miners. Marathon, for instance, is well known for its asset light strategy. It's changed that over the last 12 months or so. Riot's vertically integrated. You know, they have everything from the engineering company inside of them to building out like Corsicana all in-house. Tons of different miners out there. What is it going to take for these strategies to matter to the market? And do they matter on some level? Like, is it popping up in any sort of way? Because I do think that we see some of these miners differentiating themselves when they speak to the market. I think that you might see a little bit in the price action. But yeah, it's somewhat open-ended question, maybe unfair, but I am curious if you have any thoughts on that.
I think for a lot of these strategies, it's still TBD. You know, I agree with you. Like, we've seen a lot of people talk about the merits of their approach and why it differentiates them from everyone else. But I think, honestly, we haven't really seen that be reflected in any of the financials for a lot of these companies, right? And at the end of the day, like, the numbers are what are ultimately going to differentiate you and validate your approach and your strategy. I think for Marathon specifically, you know, I think maybe the asset light approach kind of served a purpose for them. I think that, you know, they fully realize in order to be competitive in the long run that you need to vertically integrate. I think that that's probably always been the case, that vertical integration is going to be necessary in the long term to stay competitive. It's good to see them making moves to do that. I think that they're fortunate that they are liquid enough, and I think they've done a great enough job kind of selling the business to Wall Street to allow them to be able to raise the money to actually be able to pivot into a more vertically integrated strategy, especially this late in the game. I think the big risk for Marathon personally is going to be on operational executing, right? Like, I think that people don't really appreciate how difficult it is to actually run and build a successful Bitcoin mining site. And it's really hard to price that or underwrite it. But if you've been in the industry, you know this for a fact, that not every mining site is created equally. It's not just buy machines and plug it in on a rack and call it a day. There's a tremendous amount of operational complexity that goes into running a site well and making sure that you're getting the most out of your machines. And Marathon does not have that history relative to a lot of other names where they've had some mistakes, but they've learned from it. And they have a whole knowledge base that they can kind of pull from as they continue to grow and scale. So I think that that's one big challenge for Marathon that they're going to have as they position themselves. But one of the more interesting things for Marathon is sort of what they're doing on the software side. I think, you know, their announcement of the L2, them having their own mining pool, I think that these are pretty interesting new avenues for them that they are kind of ahead of the pack on when I think about, you know, that aspect of things relative to the competition. Whether or not it's going to be a meaningful needle mover from a bottom line perspective, very TBD, very, very, very much TBD. But I think it is one interesting element that does kind of differentiate them, or at least they're sort of, you know, separate from everyone else in that regard. I think for Riot, I think their acquisition of ESS Metron was a brilliant move. You know, I think that they might have had a few challenges possibly with the Windstone facility, some lessons learned. But I think that, you know, with the Corsicana facility, being able to apply those lessons learned from Windstone and now having the time to fully integrate ESS Metron and work with them on building out the Corsicana facility from scratch, all their own engineering, all their own designs, I think that that could be a big needle mover for them. Once that site, you know, gets energized and online, and knowing that they already have all of the ASICs fully funded, I think that that could be a real winner for them, as well as their interesting new investment in Reform Energy. So, you know, shout out to Ed and those guys over there. But I think that that's also an interesting sort of foray for them. And I think, you know, Marathon is doing, you know, some similar things there as well, just investing in alternative mining strategies. So flare gas mining, or mining in other geographies, I think is an interesting way to go about it. And then I'll touch lastly on CleanSpark. I think CleanSpark, they're another vertically integrated miner. They've been doing some things with immersion, some testing there. They've had some positive things, I think, come out on that front. But I think that they're also just well positioned. I don't think they've done, or at least announced, a whole lot on the software side of things, but they've been really building up their operational sort of expertise for building sites, acquiring sites, and figuring out how to integrate them effectively and get more out of their machines, which I think will be really fruitful for them. So I think that there's a number of companies with quite a few different approaches there that I think, directionally speaking, are the right things. It's just going to be a matter of execution and how does this ultimately get reflected in the bottom line.
Hey, listeners, let's talk about revolutionizing your mining operation with Foreman. This isn't your average management tool. It's an all-in-one solution for reducing costs and significantly boosting your revenue. Foreman brings a cutting-edge dashboard to your fingertips, empowering you with automated energy strategies. This means not only curtailing around real-time prices, but also strategically enhancing your profit margins through demand response. It's about leveraging energy efficiency to its fullest potential. With Foreman, you get a system that scales with your business: inventory management for assets, infrastructure integration, and business intelligence. Foreman elevates the cash flow and production of your entire operation. To see how Foreman can redefine your mining operation standards, visit foreman.mn. With Foreman, you're not just managing a mining operation, you're setting a new standard in the industry.
I want to talk about CleanSpark's, I think it's the FASB, changes to their accounting rules and how that influenced their stock price. So since basically being a year, CleanSpark's kind of run away. And then even since, we've seen a downward trend for a lot of these Bitcoin mining stocks, they've kind of stayed up against everyone else. My understanding with this, I'm not an accountant, but my understanding is that they were basically able to take a look at like their depreciating costs and mark them against the market, and then also look at their Bitcoin holdings and mark it against the market in a better way. And that boosted like the overall look of their company. While a lot of these other Bitcoin miners, they're on different financial schedules. And so like yes, they might be able to apply these or already have, but they weren't really able to do that for Q4 numbers, which came out, you know, a few weeks ago. And so CleanSpark kind of got to run away with this momentum right at the beginning of the year, right when Bitcoin was pumping. Do you have any follow-up thoughts on that? And feel free to make any corrections on anything I just said. Again, not an accountant by trade podcaster. So,
I mean, I think it's a big deal. I think it's great for the industry. I don't think that prior to the accounting rule change, you know, Bitcoin was being fairly treated. You basically couldn't recognize any gains. You could only take the impairments. And in 2022, that really made miners, you know, financials look horrible, effectively. I think that Marathon and maybe Riot also were, I think they did actually take advantage of that accounting rule change on their 10K. I could be wrong about that. But nonetheless, I think it's a big deal, right? Like Bitcoin had massive gains towards the end of the year that, you know, ultimately allowed CleanSpark to show, I believe, positive net income for that quarter. I think that's great, but it's more of an, it's just another like optical game to me in a sense. You know, at the end of the day, the way that I would look at it is I would probably remove the gain. Like if I'm calculating adjusted EBITDA and I'm really thinking about like, what does this business do? What is its core function? It's to generate Bitcoin profitably, not to be a speculator of Bitcoin and Bitcoin price. And so I don't really look at that net income and say like, oh, wow, they crushed it. I mean, when you peel back the layers of the onion, it's because you just recorded a massive gain on the Bitcoin price appreciation. It's not because your operations specifically got drastically better where, you know, you're able to generate that net income. I think that that's what should really matter at the end of the day. So to me, you know, in the same way that I would add back or like, you know, if you took an impairment to Bitcoin, I would ignore that. I'm also going to ignore the gains directly from Bitcoin price appreciation.
Gotcha. Appreciate that background. Yeah, I mean, I think for a lot of people who aren't accountants, they kind of like eye rolled or like glazed over that. But it became very important very quickly within the first few weeks of January where that occurred. Okay, let's finish up talking about like a few of these strategies you think will age well coming out of the next few weeks and going to the halving. Few things that come to mind. One, ordinals. I don't know if that's going to be priced in. You already touched on that with Marathon. I think there's a few other miners who are also trying to bake that in, like Sato, I think, has built some mining software. A few other companies are looking at it. I think that's something that's going to age well, but I think it's going to take a little bit longer. Maybe you can expand on that a little bit more. And the second one I want to bring up is CleanSpark opening up like a trading desk for its Bitcoin. I think that's going to become probably a decently lucrative line of business. If you have enough Bitcoin, I would assume that more of these mining companies are going to do that as these market makers are looking for more Bitcoin to, you know, feed the ETF beast, so to speak. So I'll throw it over to you for thoughts on either of those things or other things that you think are going to age well or not well going to the halving.
For sure. I think, I guess I'll just start with the ordinals piece. I think that could potentially age well. I agree with you. Like, I think it's going to take quite some time to really determine whether or not you get the benefit. But I think the opportunity there is, you know, if you can get consistent enough revenue and as the ordinal space continues to grow, you know, if it grows, if we get more VC capital, you know, if other narratives like Bitcoin DeFi, some of these other things really start to take off, then I could see someone like Marathon turning that into a lucrative SaaS business. Right, it becomes like a software as a service business, facilitating, you know, that type of transaction activity directly on Bitcoin. And then there might be a way that you can sort of value that and put a multiple on it, and it just kind of becomes sort of another way that, you know, Marathon can increase its value proposition or can kind of create a competitive moat for itself in a certain sense. I think that that's the longer term vision. I think it'll take some time to get there, and it's really hard to put a value on that, I think, today. But I do think directionally it certainly could make some sense, especially for them with the pool. And the fact that a lot of this stuff is going to come down to ordering transactions. I think things like MEV protection, which they could potentially provide with one of their L2s, is something definitely needed. I think that could be a big opportunity especially if they can bring on like a large exchange, like a Magic Eden or something like that. And that could actually be quite lucrative for them. In regards to the trading desk that CleanSpark launched, I think that that makes a lot of sense. I mean, in the long term, I think you're ultimately going, I think that almost every miner is going to have a trading desk in the same way that you think of traditional oil and gas companies. They have people that are just trading, you know, futures and derivatives and managing the hedging aspect on a daily basis. I think you're going to need the same thing at a point in time for Bitcoin miners as well, because you're going to have to manage the Bitcoin price risk, right? And we saw miners do that very poorly last cycle. Even though Bitcoin's at an all-time high, I still think you need to be, you know, I think a prudent treasury management strategy is probably thinking about something like a costless collar strategy, where you're kind of giving up a little bit of upside, but you're managing your downside, right? And just knowing that the capital markets, right? If you're, you know, depending on who you are, you might struggle to be able to raise equity capital through an ATM. And most of these names have no access to debt. It's very hard to get a debt deal done. So you really want to be taking advantage of that excess cash from the Bitcoin you're generating and making sure that you're realizing some of that, so you can kind of, you know, bolster your cash on hand and kind of save up for the rainy day, or when we get to the bear market, you know, you're not in a position where you're becoming a forced seller of assets, where you at least have enough liquidity to sort of manage any downturns. So I think that prudent treasury management strategy on that front, and having a trading desk that can manage that risk, makes a lot of sense. You're also saving fees, right? You're not having to pay a NYDIG or maybe Galaxy or whoever else, Coinbase fees, to sort of do the execution for you. And then you also need to think about hash price volatility risk as well. So there might be opportunities to sell forward some of your hash rate. And we have, you know, companies like Luxor that are building derivatives around that. You could also do other offtake agreements as well, which could be a good hedging strategy. And I think that post-halving, that becomes more important, because hash price volatility is going to increase, because as transaction fees make up a larger percentage of overall rewards, their impact on hash price will be greater. And if you look at, you know, transaction fee volatility, it's incredibly high. And so, you know, we see massive fee spikes and all of these different things. All of that is going to be, you know, is going to have a much larger impact on your overall revenue. And so you need to think about that. You need to have a plan for that. And you need to have a way to kind of hedge or manage risk around that, which I think is going to require a dedicated person or team to actively be looking at that, especially if you also do curtailment as well, because you need to think about the price signal from the grid. And now you also need to think about the price signal of what is the revenue going to be in the next one to two blocks, which is ultimately going to be driven a lot by what the fee market looks like at that point in time. So there's a tremendous amount of things to think about. And I think that that's only going to grow. And so I think that, you know, having that trading desk, directionally, it makes a lot of sense.
You sound pretty bullish on mining, which is nice to hear.
Very bullish on mining, as always.
Good. I would hope so. Put a lot of your life's work into it so far. Okay, last question for you. What's going to happen on the halving block? Is there going to be chaos? Is there going to be a lot of MEV? And if you think so, can you explain what that is to the audience?
For sure. I think the halving block will be pretty chaotic. I actually want to see the chaos. I'm hoping for chaos, actually. I think there's a good chance that we'll see mining pools fight for that block. You might see a couple of reorgs, and you'll definitely see some MEV likely happen with runes. And if you're not familiar, MEV stands for miner extractable value. It's more typical, I believe, on like the Ethereum blockchain, but on Bitcoin, I think it has a slightly different connotation. But generally, we're just talking about transaction front running, or sniping of transactions effectively. So that's been a big thing that's been going on with ordinals and people that are trading, you know, JPEGs and certain tokens and things of that nature. But I think that the halving block will definitely be very crazy. I think that a lot of people will ultimately, or at least pools, will certainly be fighting to get that. I think it's a is it a mythical sat or legendary sat? I forget the exact taxonomy or hierarchy of rare sats, but this is going to be an incredibly rare sat that will effectively come into circulation when the halving block gets mined. And there are some pretty lofty estimates for what that rare sat could ultimately go for. I've heard as high as 10 Bitcoin in terms of what someone might be willing to pay. I mean, like, that's a crazy number. I think if I had to give a range, I'd say anywhere between 3 and 10 Bitcoin likely for that sat. So, you know, the overall value of that block could be as much as, you know, 12 Bitcoin potentially, which is why I think, you know, that's why I think there's going to be some chaos in regards to what happens with it.
Some financial incentive baked right into that block reward. Yeah, I think the stuff with the runes is going to be interesting for background for the audience. There is a token project that is launching around that time from the creator of Ordinals, Casey Rodemore. And I think a lot of people are expecting there to be airdrops and other financial incentives around being associated with runes. And so people are gunning for it for sure. I've seen a lot of stuff on Twitter about it. I've seen a few project like it's like RSIK or RSIC. So there's a few things out there. Let's close up shop though, Brandon. Thanks for joining the podcast. Anything or anywhere you want people to go and follow you, listen to you, keep up to date with you?
Sure. Yeah. You can definitely follow me on Twitter at BitcoinBeezy. That's BEEZY for Beezy. Feel free to hit me up, shoot me a DM if you want to talk mining stocks. I'm open. I'm doing freelance work in the space right now. So really looking to just take on a broad range of different projects and explore opportunities out there. So let me know if you have anything interesting.
Love it. Highly recommend to anyone listening to the show. Okay. Thanks, Brandon, for joining. We'll talk again with you soon.
Thanks for having me.